This afternoon we open the Word of God in Paul's epistle to the Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, the verses 15 through 23. Page 1803 in our Pew Bible, 1803. Colossians 1, starting at verse 15, this is the Word of God. He, that is the Lord Jesus, the Son of His love, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. That's our scripture passage. This afternoon we take our focal point in Lord's Day 6 of the Heidelberg Catechism, page 13 in the back of our Blue Psalter hymnal. Lord's Day 6. There we echo the Word of God as follows. Why must He be truly human and truly righteous? God's justice demands it. Man has sinned. Man must pay for his sin. But a sinner cannot pay for others. Why must He also be true God? So that by the power of His divinity, He might bear the weight of God's anger in His humanity and earn for us and restore to us righteousness and life. And who is this mediator, true God and at the same time truly human and truly righteous? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who was given us to set us completely free and to make us right with God. How do you come to know this? The Holy Gospel tells me. God Himself began to reveal the gospel already in paradise. Later He proclaimed it by the holy patriarchs and prophets and portrayed it by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law. Finally, He fulfilled it through His own dear Son. That's Lord's Day 6. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is that mediator who at the same time is true God and a true and righteous man? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, I should add, brothers and sisters. For that's what we saw in Lord's Day 5 already, and in Lord's Day 1 also. Indeed, in all preceding Lord's Days, we spoke about him in the context of the special points of that Lord's Day. Yes, every sermon is about him, our Lord Jesus Christ. To us, that's nothing special or new, is it? Yet for people in our time who have attended services in other denominations, it's an eye-opener. You preach about the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter from what text you are preaching. One of them said to me, well, yes. And also our catechism students will say then, the preaching shows the Lord Jesus Christ on every page of the Bible. No, not in the sense that his name is found on every page, but in the whole Bible, everything points to him. His words and deeds, his way and work of salvation receive our attention in every sermon. Thus, his name and reputation are established. His reputation as mediator and deliverer. We know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified, the Apostle Paul said. We confess this too in Lord's Day 6, beloved. We know him as our mediator and savior from the Holy Gospel. We see him in the first chapters of Genesis. You can see him also in the promises to patriarchs like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Heidelberg Catechism adds, and in the prophecies, yes, in the sacrifices and ceremonies of the law too. Then from the accounts of the gospel in the New Testament, we learn that he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, that he is the promised Messiah. He manifested himself as true and righteous man, and also as true God. Hence, we learn to believe and confess him as the only name given under heaven by which we can be saved. We believe and confess that he must be central in the whole Bible. To us, brothers and sisters, that all sounds very familiar and very correct. And yet, as I already indicated, to some guests and visitors, that's not so common. They are struck by it, for they have heard a lot, sometimes a lot more, about the Holy Spirit. They heard a preaching with a focus much more on the Holy Spirit, his gifts, his fruits, and especially the gifts of speaking in tongues, faith healing, and prophesying by the Holy Spirit. That's remarkable. Even if this preaching shows that there is a link between the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Did the Lord Jesus not promise to send the Holy Spirit that he might take what is Christ's and declare it to us? Did he not comfort us with the assurance that the Holy Spirit would lead us in all the truth about him? Our Savior? The Holy Spirit never draws the attention to himself, but always places the Lord Jesus Christ in the center, in the light. He inspired all the authors of the Bible, showing in all the scriptures that the Holy Gospel reveals to us the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator and deliverer from God. And that's what I may proclaim this afternoon also. Jesus Christ is the mediator and deliverer given by God for our redemption with divine power in the Holy Gospel. That's how I would like to summarize the message of this afternoon. Jesus Christ is the mediator and deliverer given by God for our redemption, our first point, with divine power, our second point, and in the Holy Gospel, our third point. So first of all, Jesus Christ, the mediator and deliverer from God for our redemption. The Lord says 5 and 6 of the Heidelberg Catechism, brothers and sisters, must be considered among the most central and crucial Lord's Days in the Heidelberg Catechism. It's very fitting and useful, therefore, to emphasize that this is the summary of the Reformed doctrine of the gospel that Martin Luther proclaimed at every occasion, yes, had it broadcasted from the rooftops. Jesus Christ is our mediator and deliverer. He only can save you from your sins. He is your righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Yes, in this way, Luther and the Heidelberg Catechism echo the words of God. Who is this mediator who at the same time is true God and true a righteous man? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, has become for us wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. That's what we confess here, beloved. And what is the redemption, the life he obtained for us? It's a new life. A life in love and obedience to God and the neighbor. That's what we confess against the background of the doctrine about man and his inability to save himself or to find salvation anywhere else. That's the doctrine Martin Luther and John Calvin had to restore and reform in the face of the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church and its semi-Pelagianism, and which the authors of the Heidelberg Catechism summarize in it. The Roman Catholic Church did not want to hear of our total corruption any longer. Man is just sick. No, we confess the Lord's Day 5 already, and we reiterate today, we cannot find anything for our deliverance in ourselves or in this world, not even the least bit or any good work. It's not easy to confess it that way. Let's admit our trouble with viewing ourselves that way. Remember how I shared in my sermon last week the question of people who find it difficult always to pray for the forgiveness of sins while unable to know of any sin committed in their Bible study society meeting or in a consistory meeting. Now allow me to summarize the doctrine, brothers and sisters, with the words of one of the form prayers in our Blue Psalter hymnal. O eternal God and merciful Father, we humble ourselves before thy great majesty, against which we have frequently and grievously sinned. We acknowledge that if thou shouldst enter into judgment with us, we would deserve nothing less than eternal death. We are deeply conscious of the fact that on account of our original sin, we are unclean before thee and children of wrath. Since we are conceived and born in sin, all manner of evil desires against thee and our neighbor fill our soul. We continually transgress thy commandments, failing to do what thou hast commanded us, and doing that which thou hast expressly forbidden. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. We acknowledge our waywardness and are heartily sorry for all our sins. We confess to our humiliation and to the praise of thy mercy that our transgressions are innumerable and that our debt is so great that we cannot even begin to repay. We are not worthy to be called thy children, nor to lift up our eyes heavenward to thee in prayer. You see, when this prayer rises from a believing and repentant heart, you will cling to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and exclaim with Luther and Calvin, "We have life and salvation in Jesus Christ alone and in Him completely." Yes, then you can also imagine that Martin Luther and the Reformed believers sang it with all the conviction and sincerity of their hearts. "Let goods and kindreds go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still, His kingdom is forever." It's from a deeply believing heart, beloved, that the confessor of Lord's Day 6 echoes the word of God when it articulates that our mediator and deliverer, Jesus Christ, is a unique Savior. There is no other who, like Him, is a true man without sin and at the same time true God. God and man in one person. What no mind could ever conceive, God has prepared for us to save us from our sins and bear the wrath of God in our place. Is that what you believe? Are you totally convicted and convinced to find your salvation in Him alone? Yes, I ask you this question very personally because it's especially in our time that people have questioned this doctrine. Someone else pay for us, punished in our place? Isn't man autonomous? Should not each man take responsibility for his own life? Yes, Lord's Day 6 is very relevant today, not only as Lord's Day summarizing the heart of the gospel that was restored in the Great Reformation. It's also very important in the midst of our individualistic society, in which man lives for himself, decides for himself, and chooses for himself. They might even have the scripture on their side, or so it seems, where it says, "The man who sins shall die." How can a mediator die for you and me, beloved, and redeem us from the slavery to sin and restore us to God? Well, that too you find in the Holy Gospel. The mediator of mankind is placed on one line with the Father of mankind. He is the second Adam. As the first Adam dragged all mankind into sin and misery by his fall into sin, so the second Adam takes the new mankind along in his perfect obedience and love. That is, all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ share in His righteousness, holiness, and complete redemption. That's the most wonderful gift God has given us in His love for the world. He was able what we couldn't do. He wanted what we did not want. He did what we did not do. Without Him, there is no hope for mankind. He is the mediator and deliverer given by God. And the gospel about Him is the wisdom of God for a world that is foolish in its own ways of salvation, foolish in its own attempts of redemption, and foolish in its own efforts of self-deliverance. He still is a stumbling block for the people who seek eternal life by their own good works. And yes, the gospel is sheer folly to the individualistic philosopher of the modern age. He is our righteousness and sanctification from God, beloved, as Paul shows in 1 Corinthians 1. And so becomes our complete redemption. In Christ, God delivers us from our unrighteousness, that is, our sins and disobedience and rebellion. Christ made atonement for it and satisfied God's justice for us and in our place. Hence we receive acquittal of guilt and forgiveness of all our sins. As our mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ made it good again between God and us. No, that's not to say that he mediated in the way negotiators do in our time in labor conflicts and the like. No, he satisfied God's just demands for us and in our place. He did so on the cross. And it's only the haughty and stubborn individualist of our time who thinks that he can do so for himself, rejecting this Savior for his salvation. He also renews us by his Holy Spirit and sanctifies us by his divine power. Yes, he had to be true God for that too, so as to accomplish our complete redemption. Which brings us to our second point, Jesus Christ, the mediator and deliverer from God with divine power. The Lord's Days 5 and 6, brothers and sisters, do not only stress that we can be redeemed only by this unique Savior taking our place as man, our mediator and deliverer also had to be true God. God does not only impute to us, that is, put on our account, the new and holy life that he lived for us and in our place. He also makes us share in it, and he restores us to righteousness and life. We need Christ's divine power for that. He had to be true God in order to bear in his human nature the wrath of God against our sins, but also to restore us and make us live in love and life to God again. That's what we learn from the Word of God, and that Word is fulfilled in the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Lord's Day 6 confesses, indeed, our mediator and deliverer is God. As we saw in Colossians 1, God of God, light of light, true God of true God. Remember, we need to be saved by heaven. Our Savior has to come from God. Yes, and we can be saved only when we confess him as Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Emmanuel, God with us. Our deliverance, beloved, isn't just a matter of acknowledging that I can do it myself or find a way of escape here on earth or among other creatures. We also have to have a keen eye upon heaven. We need to increase our consciousness for him who dwells on high. We need to have a deep awareness for him who sits on his throne in heaven. We need to have a strong sense that we are living in the sight of God. We also need to have a hearty expectation that we can receive life and grace from him alone. You know, there are a lot of people who realize indeed that we can't have much hope any longer for our expectation of salvation from man. There still are a lot of people as well who will recognize the Lord Jesus as Savior. Even the Muslim knows him as Esau and expect him back to earth. But what about the confession of Jesus as the Son of God, however? What about the confession that his sacrifice on the cross was as great as it was and of the most precious value as it is, because he who was crucified was the true Son of God? That's the confession Thomas made when he said, "My Lord and my God." That's the confession Thomas made when he had seen him, the man Jesus Christ, had seen the signs of his hands and confessed. And it's the truth that Paul articulates in Colossians 1 verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. You see, beloved, the confession of the Lord Jesus' divinity should not just be a fact to us in the sense of, oh yeah, sure, he is our Emmanuel. No, the fact that he has come to us from God, as gift from God, and himself through God, should incite in us a strong desire to seek God, to focus on him, and to live for him and with him again. When the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, heaven was opened, because from heaven only life and salvation and a complete redemption could come. From heaven only a new mankind, a new Jerusalem, and a new world can come. Is that a living reality to us? Is that what we are living for? You know, we are so earthly and of the earth that we are totally wrapped up in this life on earth, in our pursuits on earth, our work, our worries, our joys. They're all earthly. We hardly have a moment or take some time to look beyond this world, to look up to heaven and to direct all our attention on the world beyond the stars. The reality of life in heaven. Yes, on the Christ as the Son of God in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, is our mediator and deliverer who came from God to open the way to God and to restore our life to God. As John writes in his epistle, eternal life is knowing God and his Son Jesus Christ. Hence our confession of our total inability to save ourselves or to deliver this world from evil should not just be a human pessimism that things here on earth won't ever become good again. No, our confession should lift our life above the earthly life of sin and guilt, of brokenness and misery, and restore the communion with God. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ should not just be a matter of some comfort and hope in a better and distant future, but it should restore us in a constant communication and interaction with God, our Maker. You know, when the disciples exulted and said to the Lord Jesus, "Even the evil spirits were subject to us," the Lord Jesus responded by saying, "Don't just rejoice in that, but rejoice in the fact that your names are written in heaven." True life, beloved, is living under an open heaven. And true riches is gathering for yourselves treasures in heaven. Why?
Because Christ, our mediator, came from God and was through God in order that I would find this wisdom, this righteousness, and this sanctification in Him. Then we no longer live in a humanistic type of religion, superficially, horizontally, in a faith combined with world conformity, in a life for money, materialism, and man-made spirituality. But we live for Jesus, the Son of God, who came from God, who was through God, to restore us to God. How that is possible? Well, by Him whom we confess, the Emmanuel, God with us, who came to us from God and was given to us by God to be our mediator and deliverer, and who still comes to us from God on every page of the Bible, the Word of God, which is our third point. Jesus Christ, the mediator and deliverer from God in the Holy Gospel. How can we know, and how do we see, brothers and sisters, that our deliverance rests only and solely on such a divine initiative? Yes, as the Heidelberg Catechism confesses, because God told us about it. God's word, therefore, is a true gospel indeed, a glad tiding. The good news, yes, the best news that the world has ever received, it received from God. He spoke to Adam and Eve right away and showed them the way of salvation. The Bible, with its stories about the patriarchs, its statutes and decrees in the law, its prescriptions for sacrifices and ceremonies, its prophecies, gospel accounts and epistles, it's the mother of all books. The holy and divine scriptures. Oh, sure, there also is the book of nature. We should always try hard to see God consciously and clearly in the glory of creation, in His power and majesty around us. Yet, salvation and redemption, you cannot learn from this book of nature. You can find that only in the book of books, the Bible, the Word of God. Indeed, beloved, it's in the Holy Gospel that our Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator and deliverer from God, is coming to us. It started in paradise already. The fall into sin did not take God by surprise or baffled Him for a moment so that He had to scurry around to find a solution for the problem. No, He had His plan of salvation ready. Instantly, the Savior would come from Eve, a true man. Yes, to Abraham He said as well that in his son, born from a couple as good as dead, the blessing would come for all nations of the world. The prophets also helped to raise the profile of the mediator, and the psalmist expressed it with all their spirituality and divine inspiration. What great deliverance the Lord would bring. And people like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John recorded the deeds of the Savior, which show Him to be the Son of God. True God, in His raising of the dead, forgiving people sins, multiplying the bread, you name it. Yes, they recorded His words also, confirming that in Him all the scriptures are fulfilled. And the hearts of those who heard Him speak were burning within them. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes, He is. The apostles wrote in their epistles, as Paul did. He is before all things. and in Him all things hold together. God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. There you have it. There you have it, the Word of God. Now when you read the Word of God, beloved, from cover to cover, all 66 books of them, the Holy Scriptures, you have to confess, God only has given us the mediator we need for our complete redemption. He made the plan for our salvation. He executed the plan of our deliverance. He only has come to us with His promises of salvation, which He fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the Word incarnate. Hence, what do we have to do? Read that Word. Listen to it. Keep it, as we heard this morning. Meditate on it. And work with it. Confessing it, sharing it, and following it as the truth that brings me closer to God by His Holy Spirit. He was given by God to work faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to seek my life outside of myself in Jesus Christ. For it is by His Word and Spirit that this mediator and deliverer Himself gathers, defends, and preserves for Himself a church chosen to everlasting life. Yes, and then He uses the proclamation of this gospel and the administration of the sacraments for the strengthening of our faith, in order that we may be living members of Christ, who live to the glorious praise of God, our God, again.